God made an awesome promise there, did he not? If two of you on earth, so maybe, okay, maybe you're not living on earth. Maybe you're living out there in the galaxies or something. But I got a feeling most of us are on earth, don't you? I'm walking around on it. He made it so simple. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. So I told Sharon, I said, Sharon, how about if we take that verse? That'd be okay? She said, wow, that's a great promise. I said, okay, now that you've repented of your sin and we have taken a word, a promise we're going to stand on. And then I said, I'm going to pray for you in faith. The scripture says, when you ask, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let me take you to James 1, 6 and 7, and I want to show you what that says. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Who's my faith supposed to be in? That doesn't include the doctor then, does it? God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So if you're wavering, I pray for you and you think, well, maybe this is going to work, maybe it ain't going to work. Are you wavering? Yes, yes, you're wavering. What are you going to get from God?
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. How many people do you know that can walk in that kind of faith? When it's your physical body, that's hurting. You all understand? People said, but I can't see him. Oh, yeah, you can look at him and you can see you see God everywhere. He is in everything. And if you want to really see him, just walk up to one of your brothers in Christ and say, I want to see Jesus. Put your finger and say, look at me. I'm Jesus. Is that right?
That's right.
Me and you are Jesus on the earth, aren't we?
Right.
He's in us. I don't have to look very far to see Jesus. I see lots of little Jesuses all over the whole place out there. But most of you don't see yourself as a little Jesus. But is he in you?
Yes.
Yes. Are you his body on the earth?
Yes.
So does that make you Jesus?
Yes.
It really does. You know, we're Jesus and we're on the earth and all these promises belong to us. And so after using Matthew 18, 19, and then this scripture right here said, but when you ask, you must ask in faith with nothing wavering. I told Sharon, I said, I'm going to pray for you in faith and I'm going to guarantee you on the word of the living God that he's going to heal you. Did he make the promise?
Yes.
He did. And guess what? As soon as I thanked him for healing her, and she said, Lord, thank you for my healing. Guess what happened to that lovely lady? She was healed. That's exactly right. She was healed. And now I don't have to worry about sending somebody out to get her no more. She hot rods her own car around by herself, you know. That girl can drive. She goes around all over the place and she does anything she wants to do. But you ought to have seen her 10 years ago. She was in big trouble. I mean, you know, when you're beat up on, the devil has legal right to you. But see, the devil had legal right to her from 30 years ago, a sin she committed 30 years ago. Had never repented of that sin. So that demon had never been kicked out. So now once she repented of that sin, Jeff went over that really good, that Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Jesus has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Is that right? If we're redeemed from the curse, if I'm redeemed from the curse, then if I confess my sin to the Lord, whatever I've done, if I've done something stupid, I lied to somebody, got mad at somebody, got angry or did whatever I did, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry I got out of my love walk. That's what kills you. You get out of that love walk. You got to stay in that love walk. If you stay in that love walk, and if you get out of it, then immediately when you realize you're out of it, you repent of sin. Now, I can guarantee you, while you were out of the love walk, you got a demon. It's so easy to pick up a demon. Now, if I'm driving down the freeway out here, like I told you a while ago, the legislative department said 65 miles an hour is a legal speed limit on 35W between Denton and Fort Worth. And they got signs all up and down the road. What should be the speed that, especially Christians, now the world, I know they're not going to obey no laws, but us as Christians, should you ever see a Christian break the law?
No.
Absolutely not. What's wrong with us? But do we see them break the law?
Yeah.
Of course. It's not uncommon to get in a car with somebody that calls himself a Christian that goes to church every Sunday. And they get out there on the freeway and they're going somewhere after church and they're listening to the Word of God and you look down, they're driving 75. Do you not realize that you're speeding? Ain't no cops out here. I got my radar detector. That's a sin too. As a Christian, you should not have a radar detector. I don't believe in those things. How many times do you need a radar detector if you obey the law?
Never.
You don't never need one. That's right. Obey the law. You don't need one. And so if I'm out there on the highway and the speed limit says 65 and I'm driving up to 65 and there may be 10 police officers between here and Fort Worth, and how many of them are going to stop me?
None.
Not one of them. Not one single one. Now what if I'm driving 60? Is that okay too?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not going to bother me? What if I decide to drive 90? If there's 10 of them out there, one of them going to catch me, isn't he?
Absolutely.
You ain't going to get by. You're going to see the little flashing lights, and then they're going to write you a nice ticket and all this stuff, and you're going to have to go pay your ticket. Is that right? Now then, let's look at this from the spiritual perspective. Let's look at 1 John 5:18. We know that God's children does not make a practice of sinning. So if you're God's child, when you get on that highway out there and it says 65, what are you going to practice driving? The speed limit. Is that right? Yeah, if you're really one of God's children and you like to obey the law, you know you're going to do what God says. Because here he says, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely and the evil one cannot touch them. And if you happen to be a police officer, I don't mean anything derogatory. I'm putting this from the physical to the spiritual, right? So here the legislature, which is God, they make a rules and say the rules are going to be 65 miles an hour on the freeway out here. So now then we know that people's going to break the law. Do we know that? Yeah, we know that they're going to break the law. So we're going to hire a police chief, and I'm going to call him the devil. We're going to hire a police chief, and we're going to have him hire police officers, which are demons, and he's going to tell his demons to get out there in their police cars, and if anybody breaks the law, you stop them and give them a ticket. And is that what they do? That's exactly what happens. Now then, if you don't make a practice of sinning, you know, I mean, there's been a couple times in my life when I might be talking to somebody and I look down and I maybe if I happen to have my GPS turned on and it says, give me a physical warning if I'm 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. If I'm driving along and all of a sudden I hear a beep, 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 I thought, whoa, and I look up there and I'm doing 70 instead of 65. Boy, when that happens, guess what do I do? I'll back off. I get back down to 65, hit the cruise control thing. Okay, I'm not paying attention. I'm talking to somebody. I'm not giving driving 100% of my time. Now, I know some of y'all do the same thing I do. So I put the cruise control on 65, and then I don't have to worry about it, right? It's going to drive 65. So in a little while, if I happen to see a police officer come behind me with the blinking lights on, I look down, I'm driving exactly 65. Do I panic? No, not at all. I just pull over a little bit, give him a little more room, because I know he ain't after me. But he's after the guy in front of me. They just passed me driving 80. So that's kind of the way it is with the devil and God. Does God make all the laws?
Yes.
Yes, nobody else makes laws but God. He makes these laws, he put them in his book, and then after he puts them in the book, then he tells us, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning. I'm going to obey the laws of the land. For God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch you. So just like the police officer will not touch you, he cannot touch you if you're driving the speed limit. If you're obeying God's word, you don't have to worry about ever picking up a demon. But if you sin, even, do you know just a bad thought? Did they go over a while ago that said that you're supposed to capture every thought? So what do you think God meant when he said that? Capture every thought? But Lord, you don't know what they've done to me. He done something so bad to me, I ain't going to tell him nothing. I'm going to shake his hand. I'm going to say, hi, how you doing? But in my heart, I'm going to say, I hate your guts. You see what I mean? When that thought comes to say, I hate your guts, what am I supposed to do with that? I'm supposed to capture that.
Right.
I'm supposed to throw that away and say, no, God, you told me to love, so I'm going to love him. We're supposed to love people. And some of us can't even do that to our mate. Some of us can't even do that to our husband or our wife. And then we wonder why we're sick. We wonder why we're afflicted. Like I said, I told some people a while ago, I said, I talked to a woman and her husband the other day, or a few weeks ago, hours. And they've been married 20-something years. And she wants a divorce. He does not want a divorce. He wants to be married. But she don't want to be married no more. I told her, I said, ma'am, the word says right here. I said, your husband's a Christian. You're a Christian. It says a Christian woman cannot leave her Christian husband. What do you do with that? But then God knew we were going to mess up, because then he says, but if she does, ain't that something? She is to remain unmarried, or if she ever decides she wants to be married again, she has to go back to her original husband. That's what the Word says. So I said, ma'am, you need to love your husband. I said, how many children did you have before you cut your husband off from sex because he wanted sex every night? I said, women, if you don't understand, a man's made different than a woman. And the man, when he's young especially, he wants sex not only sometimes every night, but sometimes two or three times a day. That's the way men are made. God made them like that. And so I said, when you started having babies, you got tired, and so instead of having sex when your husband comes to bed at night, you cut him off. You want to wait till tomorrow night. I said, first thing you know, he's going somewhere else. At least he's going to be looking somewhere else. I said, and that's to sin. I said, God said in His Word, the woman is to never cut her husband off from sex. It is written. Do y'all know that? Do you know that's written in God's Word? So if a woman cuts her husband off from sex, then she is in rebellion, and there's every form of witchcraft and every form of evil in her house. And that's why her children go wrong. That's why people get sick. That's why all these things happen. Why can't we just do it God's way? I don't understand this, but we don't. You know the main reason we don't do it God's way? We don't know what He said. We don't read the book. We don't read the book, do we? When you do it God's way, is it better God's way?
It is better.
Oh, it's always better God's way. You know, I don't understand why we don't do it God's way. But we will get out and read books about everything except God's Word. And then we wonder why we got all the problems we got. But we don't know what God's Word says. Now, let's go back to that scripture back in 1 Peter 2:21-24. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Now, this is the example who did no sin. Now, if this is the example that we are to have, how much sin in our life? That really said, I'm not supposed to sin? Isn't that something? We'd so like, brother, go out and sow our wild oats and have fun and lie and steal and cheat and do all that kind of stuff. But that ain't what God says it is. So if we don't do what He says, guess what's going to happen? Sickness and disease is going to come to our life.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Bazookas in the Spirit, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.